Okay, so we're on Daf Ayin Gimel tonight. So tonight's daf is sponsored by Yosef Rachman, and the occasion of the Yahrzeit side of his grandmother, Batya Bat Yitzchak, in form of bracha. Okay, I'll go back to Ayin Beis and Beis 72b. We'll go three lines from the bottom, page 144. So Tana Rabbanan, Ger no se mamzeres. So the Braisa teaches that a ger, a convert, is permitted as a green light to marry a mamzeret. The offspring, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, the offspring will be mamzerim, but the ger has a green light to marry a mamzeret. Rabbi Yehuda Meir ger lo yisa mamzeret. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, the ger cannot marry a mamzeret. We'll discuss the reasons shortly. And then a separate halacha is echad ger, echad eben shuchrar v'chalal, who turn b'kohenet. A bat kohen can marry a ger. A bat kohen can marry an eben shuchrar. A bat kohen can marry a chalal, even though a kohen can't marry any of those people, but a bat kohen could. All right, that's a separate halacha. Let's focus first on the Yosef. I hate to bother you. Can you give me a chumash? I apologize. Okay, so the Gemara says, "My time with Rabbi Yossi." What's the reason for the Tana of Rabbi Yossi, who says that a ger can marry a mamzeret? Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Chamisha kahalik tivei." So he says that there are five psukim that mention kahal. I like to see the psukim I'm talking. So, if you want to follow, you may. It's in Parshas Ki Tesei. So, if you have the Arscroll Chumash, if you have an Arscroll Chumash, it's on page 1054. Okay, page 1054 in the Arscroll Chumash. So, let's look at the psukim together. If you have an Arscroll Chumash, page 1054, it's Parakhaf Gimel, Pasuk Gimel in the farm. So says, the first Pasuk says, Lo Yavo Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, Gam Dorasu Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem. So Mamzer can't enter the Kal Hashem, that's one. And then it says, Gam Dorasu Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem, that's two. Then the next Pasuk says, Lo Yavo Amoni Moavi B'Kal Hashem, that's three. Gam Dorasu Lo Yavo Lahem B'Kal Hashem Adolam, that's four. And then the fifth one, the way Rashi And the way Rashi learns, the fifth one is with the one, yeah, the wait, one second. We did the Ammoni and the Moabi, and we're looking for the mystery, right? So in Pasuk Tet, it says, that there are children that are born, the Dor Shlishi can enter the Kal Hashem. Now, there's one more pasuk that comes into play with this, which is where it says, "Lo yavo psu'ud kach v'shapcha b'kal Hashem." Let me see where that pasuk is. So, one second. Yeah, it's in the same parak. Where is it?
23.
Yeah. Right. Right, so the top line on page 1054, so that the way Rashi learns, that's not one of the five. We'll discuss it in a minute. Okay, so let's see the Gemara and then we'll explain. So the Gemara says on the bottom line on Ayin Beis and Beis, my time with Rabbi Yossi, Chamisha Kahal Ektivik. So it says five times the Kahal Hashem. Now the Torah could have written it once. How so? So the way Rashi figures, it would go like this. If you look at the top line of Rashi and Gimel and Aleph, it says, azhara. They could have written all five of those, prohibitions in one admonition. He says, The second kahal you take out, they quoted one of the Nosei Kalim or, one of the Mefarshi Rashi that says that comes out. And by the Mitzri Adomi, they can enter you. So the Torah could have written one Kahal, it's written five times, teach me a different drasha. We'll see. It says, so Chamisha Kahal Ktivei, Chad Lekonim, Chad Levim, Chad Yisraelim. So one Kahal is teach me that Mamzer can enter the Kahal of Konim. Another Kahal teach me the Mamzer can't enter the Kahal of Levim. A third Kahal is teach me Mamzer can't enter the Kahal of Yisraelim. One, to permit the mamzer to marry shtuki, meaning the mamzer can't enter the kahal vadai, in other words, that which is definitely kahal Hashem, the mamzer can enter. But the safek kahal, in other words, the shtuki is a safek mamzer. So the kahal, so the mamzer could have relations with shtuki. Shtuki is somebody who doesn't know who their father is, okay? Israel, and one to permit the shtuki with Israel means in other words, they both have to be vaday. In other words, the mamzer has to be vaday, the kal Hashem has to be vaday. So one is teach me if the mamzer can enter a safek kal, and that's with the shtuki. And the other could be that the safek mamzer can enter the kal Hashem. So it's teaching me the mystery shtuki be Israel. Okay, but kahal geirim that we be kahal. So at the end of the day, they have those five kihilot, but kahal geirim, the group of geirim, which is a social group, is not considered a kahal. So mamzer could marry a ger. Mamzer could marry a ger. Now that's the first opinion. That's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds konim levim mechad kahal nafti yachad li lekal geirim. Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kohanim and Levim are really one Shevet, which is what they are. They're all descendants of Levi, so one Kahal covers both of them. So that leaves me an extra Kahal, so that darshens out that Mamzer can't enter the Kahal of Gerim. The Iboid Ema, or else I could say, to explain the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Hachanami Trei Kali Ninhu, in other words, in Hachanami, he does need one for the Kohanim, one for the Levim, but Mamzer B'Shtuki, Shtuki B'Yisrael, Mechad Kal Nafka. But he doubles over on one of the other Limudim. We had two Limudim at the end with the Mamzer with the Shtuki and the Shtuki with the Kal Hashem. We said it has to be Mamzer Vadai with the Kal Vadai. And how so? Lo Yavo Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, Mamzer Vadai will Yavo. Certainly 100% Mamzer can enter the Kal Hashem. The Safek Mamzer could. He says, Mamzer safek yavo b'kahal, and then vaday hu lo yavo. I didn't say right. I'm sorry. Hamamzer safek yavo b'kahal vaday lo yavo. He can't enter the kahal that's a vaday. He can't enter. Habakal safek yavo. If it's kahal safek, he could enter. So that means the mamzer could marry the shtuki. He says v'iboy nemo, or else I could say. Haninami tre kali ninhu. In Achinami, we're going to go that we're going to learn the two kahalot. I guess with the previous limud. In other words, with shtuki and the mamzer. The tamid Rabbi Yehuda mihach. The reason for Rabbi Yehuda is as follows: there's another pasuk in I think this is in Parshat Shlach. It says hakahal hukach alochem lager hagar. That the kahal, the congregation, has one law for you and for the ger that's in their midst. So he's figuring that it mentions kahal in reference to a ger. So it's teaching me that kahal gerim are a kahal. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, chukah achad hipsika inyan. He says, according to Tana Rabbi Yossi, though, the words chukah achad between kahal and ger, that's mafsik. So it can't teach me that it's a separate. Okay, let me talk about some dinim here, and then we'll open up the floor, okay? So first, with the first limud, with the five kahalim, kahalot, so we said, we had this another pasuk about suadaka. Let's look at Rashi on this. Look at the last Rashi on page 144, IMB 72b. That's two. Lo yavo manimo vi bekal three and lo yavo lahem bekal four dor shlishi yavo lahem bekal d'mitzvi v'adomi. So that we have five. So it does say by the Psu Daka, these are people right, they have you know problems with the genitals, the males, they can't come to Kal Hashem Lokashiv, because they're physically, they have something physically wrong with them, but it's not a soul in Yichud, not soul in who they are. Now Tosfos learns. If you look at the last Tosfos on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, so Tosfos says Odo Meri Shulu Shaych Beit Kahal. It's not Shaych Beit Kahal. In other words, the Pesuot Kahal and Kutshav Kahal are sterile, so they can't have progeny. So it's not Shaych to talk about a Kahal with them. In other words, they're like you know they're one. Then it ends. And then another Pshat is this is Rabbi Levi was mentioning this. One of the other Mepharshim says that. That a woman can't be a Pesu of the Kaput Shafka, so it's not Shaykh to talk about it with that. But having said all of that, so he said that the Ritva quotes the Ravid. The Ravid says that the Pesu Daka is one of the five, and instead that the Mitzri and Adomi is out. Mitzri and Adomi are out because you look at the Pesukim by the Mitzri and the Adomi, it says Banim Hashem within Dorsa Shiavo Lahem B'Kal Hashem. But in other words, by the Mitzri and Adomi, it says they can have it. Yes, they can enter the Kal Hashem. Because we're making Limud and you can't enter the Kal Hashem. But by the Pasuk, by the Mitzri and Adomi, they can enter the Kal Hashem. So the Ravid says that's not the one to learn from. We are learning from the Pesuah Daka. So what? Say again, repeat. No, we're gonna have five either way. We have five either way. It's just we're switching the five. In other words, we're going to use the one by Pesuah Daka, according to the Ravid, and we're not using the one by the Mitzri and Adomi. He says because it says they can enter the Kaal, is the way he says. They can. They're allowed to enter the Kaal. When learning says they can enter. So he was saying that the Nafnimini, he was quoting from the Avnimi Luim, he was saying the Nafnimini Lalacha would be if a person is the Pesuah Daka, is he allowed to marry a Safek, like the Safek, you know, Mamzer, the Safek Mamzer. Right. So if I learn it that the Pesuah Daka is one of the five, then they can marry the Safek Mamzer. If I learn it the other way, they can't. That would be the Nafka Mina Lalach with that. All right. Now, then there's another little piece of Torah here. You know, maybe I'll wait for this a little bit more. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Go ahead. So look at the Mishnah. We did the Mishnah on Shabbat on Samach Tet Amud Aleph. Let's look at the Mishnah on Samach Tet Amud Aleph. Okay, page 137. Okay, do you have the Mishnah? Okay, so look at the third line. You see the third line in the Mishnah? Yerei b'charurei. That means Gerim and Mamzeire and Atine, Shtuki Basufik, Lumutar, Mazo Zabazet. Those are the people they can marry. Right. We're going to come up to it shortly. All right. We're going to talk. We'll talk a little bit.
I have a question. Why do we need, if you say that one of the law cannot marry his son, then you cannot marry the Kohen and Levi. So why do we need Kohen and Levi in the side?
You know,
if you say Israel, you cannot.
No. If I have one, I'd say sorry about Kohen. If I have two, I say so about Kohen and Levine. If I have three, it's like Israel. I wouldn't say I have one, it's Israel. And my first thinking, I would say it's Kohen. In other words, the more limited. No. But the Torah doesn't say Israel. The Torah says Kahal. So that's what I would say. Okay, I got to keep moving. Okay, let's go back into the Gemara.
Rabbi, can you define exactly the crucial find Petsuah Daka?
Come on, camera.
Define Petsuah Daka? So we
and Kruchufa.
What? Well, this is a previous sugya. The way that, so Pesuah Daka was like the Beitzim were crushed and Kriv Shafka the Gid was cut. All right, I'm going to move. Somebody wrote a book about this. It's some urologist. I don't have the book, but
yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's take a look back on the Gemara. All right, now, So we're around 10 lines down of the Gemara. So the Gemara says Echad Ger. This is going back to the quote from the Braisa. Echad ger v'chad eved meshuchar v'chalal. This is the second part, a different halacha. It says if it's a ger or an eved meshuchar is like the same thing as a ger. He's a freed eved. The halal mutar v'kohenet. They all can marry a bat kohen. So Messiah le the Rav. That supports Rav. He has a Braisa, but the Braisa supports Rav. Damar b'yudam a Rav. Lo husuk sheirot lina se l'psulim. Sheirot he means the bedon kohen are not admonished against marrying the psulim. In other words, that which a Kohen cannot marry, the Benot Kohen, the Bat Kohen could marry. In other words, a Kohen can't marry a Ger, right? It's a Zona, but Bat Kohen could marry a Ger. A Kohen can't marry a Chalala, but a Bat Kohen could marry a Chalala. Okay, Dar Shribi Zera B'Machuza, Shribi Zera Dar, made the following Drasha M'Chuzan. Now, M'Chuza is a city with a lot of Gerim. He says, Ger Mutar B'Mamzeret. He says, a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeret. So Ragmu Kuliam Betrogayu. Everybody pelted him with this rogim. So the question is why they obviously didn't like what he had to say, but in other words, they're gayrim, and so they don't like him saying, oh, you can marry a mamzer. You know, doesn't endear him to them. So why would this rogim? So the way that the way that Rav Leibowitz is quoting, he was quoting a Gemara that Reb Zera got married on an Erev Sukkot, and as a chassan, like he was making a drasha on the yontiv, and it happened that everybody had the rishrokim in their hands. Is what he wanted to say. Yeah. Then he was quoting from a different gemara. Maybe did you hear one of Shir today about this, Michael, or anything like that? Okay. Then he was quoting a different gemara. It says about the nisa chamayim with the tzeduki. He poured the water on his feet, and everybody helped him with the rishrokim. But it says in the Gemara that they made a dent in the Mizbeah. And so I think Rashi says that it was actually stones that they had pelted him with. So Esrogim may not be actually like the thing that I don't know, just like doing a little bit that way. And then I tell you, there's a Chasam Sofer and the Sefer HaMakna. They both have drashas on why of the Esrogim. So the Makna, they have it here in the Daf Yomi Digest, but it's with a lot of gematrias and things like that. It comes out though that later on, this is what Leibowitz said on Ayin Vav, Rabbi Zeira, he was giving a lot of drashas like that were, acceptable to Geirin, like the Geirin would like, and he was quoting from Sefer, I think it was Yad Eliyahu, that right, that he was always trying to make up for this bad incident where so let's see what the Gemara says. So Amar Rava, Niikat Zarish Milta Kihai B'duch Shchichi Giure. So Rabbi says, who's got the seichel, who can know how to give the drush on this topic where all the geirim are? In other words, obviously, it's not going to be like a popular thing. So Darish Rabbi Mechuzah, so Rabbi gave drush and Mechuzah, and this is the way he did it. Ger mutar bet kohenet. First, he says, a ger to marry a bat kohen, which is true. So Tanu b'shirai. So they like loaded him up with silk. Oh, he's wonderful. What a wonderful rabbi. I love this rabbi. He's so much better. Much better than the last rabbi we had here. Then Hadar Darshu Ger Mutar Mamzeret. Then he gave the drasha. It was first he gives one drasha that the ger liked. Then he gives one drasha they don't like. The ger is Mutar Mamzeret. Amrulai, they said to him, I've seen it to Kamaita, like you lost your capital. Like you built it up and now not so good. So Amar Luhu, Tabaluhu Abdi Luhu, I did that which was best for you, meaning like he's sort of like packaging it. Ibai mi hakanasiv. In other words, I'm giving you choices. If you want to marry Bak Kohen, marry Bak Kohen. You want to marry a Mamzeret, you can marry a Mamzeret. I'm giving you more choices. So he says, the thing is like a little bit like practical rabbinics, like you have to know your audience, you have to know how and what to say to the audience, how to package it and everything else. Behilkata ger mutar b'kohenet. The halacha is that a ger indeed is allowed to marry a bat kohen, umutar mamzeret. A ger is allowed to marry a mamzeret, umutar b'kohenet. Luhuzuk sheirulina say lepsulim. A ger is allowed to marry a kohenet because the benot kohen are not admonished against marrying psulim. Umutar mamzeret to Rabbi Yossi. The ger can marry a mamzeret, like the Tana Rabbi Yossi said. All right. Now there's a little piece here. He has. I'll do this. We'll do this over here. There's a little bit of lambdas, but not so much. Okay. Oh, we're not up to this yet. Yeah, no. Mom's your father. Yeah. Okay. Mom's your father we had already. Okay. All right, so this is more with Shtuki. Let me wait a few more lines before I do this piece. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? A ger can marry a regular Jew, yeah. All right. One next question. It's just read the Mishnah on Samachan Amar Aleph, okay? All right. Anyway, then okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now let's take a look. Elohein Shtuki Kol Shemakir. So what? Ivanka, okay. Okay. Now, Elohein Shtuki can mean these are the Shtuki. Elohein can also seem to be what is a Shtuki. How do they translate it? These are Shtuki the way they did it. All right, that's the way our school has it? Yeah. But Elohein can also mean what are. But anyway. So he says here, Elohein Shtuki, Kol Shemakir. So the Mishnah says, so one of the groups we had were the Shtukim. So the Tan of the Mishnah on Samachet said, if a person knows his mother, but he doesn't know the father, that's a shtuki. And then let's do the Asufi now as well. And the Asufi, he was like an abandoned child, He's not Suf. He was gathered up in the marketplace. He doesn't know his father or his mother. And I'm sure it's for the Shtuki Abduki, and not tonight. What? All right, we'll come to it. Just one second. But it means it's like a neighborhood where most of the people are Jewish, and we assume he's Jewish. Okay? That's the way Rolivus was saying. Okay, let's see the back of the Gemara. Now, Elohim Shtuki Koshmak here. So I'm a Rabbah. So again, the Mishnah says that a Shtuki can't marry the rest of a Kohen Levi Israel. The Shtuki can marry a Ger, Shtuki can marry a Mamzeret, but the Shtuki can't marry a regular Israel. So I'm a Rabbah. The Torah Shtuki Kasher. So Rabbah says on a Torah level, Shtuki could marry a regular Jew. Why? My time, huh? Rov Ksherim Etzlah Miyupsulim Etzlah. In other words, we know the mother. We know the mother was an unmarried, you know, Jewish woman, and then she became impregnated. So he says most the people that she would have relations with would be end up with a Ksher. And it was even if she has relations with a non-Jew, the child would be like Jewish. The only thing is if she has relations with the moms here, then she's problems like that. He says, so now she's the heter, like think of the Eastern heter. She, the woman, is heter, and the man is a potential Isur. So if the man goes to her, and the man goes to her place, put the parish me ruba parish. So the klal is whatever separates Isur from a group, I assume it's from the rove. So the rove is kasher. My Amri Dilma Azla Ihila Gabaihu, so what could you say in response? Maybe she went over to him. He says, Havale Kavua, in which case he, the man, would be Kavua, like Easter set in his natural place. The whole Kavua Kemes al Mechsadami, the qual is, if it's Kavua, then we view it as a 50-50 situation. But Torah Amra Lo Yavo Mamzer, but the Torah says, a Mamzer can't come to Kal Hashem, Mamzer Badai Hu Gabo, a Mamzer Safi Gabo, that Mamzer Safi could enter. So even viewing this in the worst case scenario, where the woman went over to the man's place, so even under those circumstances, there would be a safek. I don't know, you know, whether it's whether he's a mamzer or not. But the Torah says only a vaday mamzer can enter the Kal Hashem. The safek mamzer can enter the Kal Hashem. So therefore, on a Torah level, we think we're okay. Not we think we are okay. And then the Gemara throws in another halacha, which we don't need here for now, but we're going to have it, which we had above. B'kal badai hu lo yavo. The Bamsri can't enter a badai kahal, habakal safek yavo. Umatam amru shtuke pasul. So if that's true, so why does the part of our Mishnah say that a shtuke can't marry a regular Jew? So the Gemara says, gzeira shem yisach v'tomei avi. We think it's a gzeira that he may end up marrying his sister, his paternal sister. He doesn't know who the father is. So maybe the woman he's, you know, falling in love with is actually his sister. So that's what we think the reason is. Elamiata shtuki shtuki lo yisa. Now, but the Mishnah says that shtuki could marry another shtuki. In other words, the male shtuki can marry a female shtuki. So neither one knows who the father is. So you said the whole problem is they can't marry the regular Jews. We're afraid they're going to marry their sister. But even if a shtuki marries a shtuki, lo yisa shem yisa chotomi aviv. Maybe here also I have the same problem. If that's what you're saying, so I got the same problem with the Shtuki Mare and the Shtuki. He says, but the Mishnah says not that way. So the Gemara says, Koki Hani Mizani Ba'azlu. He says, it's do I have to assume that every man that's impregnating a woman is the same man? In other words, like here you have all the Shtuki, in other words, all the Shtuki situations. So I'm going to assume that this one man is going around impregnating women. And he, in the, and so it's like a far-fetched chashash. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is saying that even on the shtuki level, in other words, where nobody knows who the father is, that it's the same man that's impregnating all these women. So he says here, but bat shtuki lo yisa, but then the shtuki shouldn't be able to marry the daughter of a shtuki. In other words, like the mother, let's say, was a shtuki. He says, shema yisa achotel me'aviv. Maybe his future father-in-law is actually his father. In other words, maybe that's the case. So in other words, why is there the same chashash that exists for the shtuki marrying the daughter of the shtuki? In other words, again, he doesn't know who his father is. He's fell in love with this girl. The girl's mother is a shtuki. The girl's mother doesn't know where the father is, but he can marry her. In other words, if a shtuki is married to somebody, let's say to a ger, so he's allowed to marry. In other words, so the offspring is a shtuki to marry. In other words, if the mother's a shtuki, the daughter's a shtuki also. So, but maybe that father is the same one that impregnated his mother. Maybe the father impregnated the mother. In other words, why is there less of a chashash here than the chashash with the general population? In other words, you said with the general population, I'm concerned that Mary is going to marry his sister. So why is that person more of a chashash than here, even within the shtuki community, he has a regular fellow and it could be his father? Ella lo shchicha. We have to say it's so remote, we don't have to worry about it. So too with the general population, it's also remote. So the Gemara says, you're right. That fear is a very remote thing. The Chachamim didn't make it clear for that. Elamala asub yuchsin. They just made a stringency by yuchsin. In other words, in Akinami, on the Din Torah, he could enter the Kahal. He could enter the Kahal, but the Chachamim wanted to create a stringency with the yichus, with the people's lineage, that he can't do it. In other words, that's just a chumrah that the Chachamim created with the lineage. Okay? Let me finish this whole sugya and then we'll pause. Okay, let me do the Asufi piece and we'll pause. Okay, for Amar Rava, Rava says Dvar Torah Asufi Kasher. Now the Asufi is the child that's abandoned child. We don't know who the mother is. We don't know who the father is. We just find the child in the street. And again, it's going about, like, say it's a Jewish, you know, it's like Borough Park. We found the child in the street, and so he says here. A Sufi, so he says, Amar Rav, Dvar Torah Sufi. Now the Mishnah says he a Sufi can't marry into Klal Yisrael. So, but Amar Rav, Dvar Torah Sufi, Kasher on Torah level, a Sufi could marry within the Klal. My Taima, Eishanish Babala Tola. In other words, what's the concern about this a Sufi? So, if a married woman has an adulterous affair, she'll ascribe the pregnancy to her husband. In other words, the concern is that maybe the child is left in the street of the mom. That's the concern. That's the concern. It says, let's say a married woman has an adulterous affair and becomes impregnated. So she'll ascribe it to her husband. She's not going to abandon the child. She'll say, it's my husband's child. Well, let's assume this is the case. It says, Eishan ish babala tola. My ika, so what am I concerned about with this asufi? Miura rusot, miura shalach balayim. You know, yeah, there are two women that can't ascribe it to the husband. If they're a rusa, and then they're not having intimacy with their husbands yet, they're becoming impregnated, so they're going to, you know, dump the child, but that would be like a mom's heir. Or if the husband went off to the Medina Nayam, but came into Ika Penuya, that's one group, but then there are Penuya, there are women who aren't married at all. Ikanami Demachman Rabon Haba. And then there's people because of famine that they're abandoning the child in the streets. In other words, there are. Right. In other words, there are children being left in the street who likely are mamzerim issue, but then there are also children on the street who are not mamzerim issue. He says, have a palgu palga. So it's half and half. He says, Vatorah amra lo mamzer b'kal Hashem, mamzer vaday hu yavo, mamzer safik yavo. So again, the sufi is the safik mamzer. So on a Torah level, he could enter the kahal. He says, and then here's the second halakha, which you don't need, but we're going to throw it in. So why did the Chachamim say that the Sufi is pasul and can't enter the Kahal? We're afraid that he's going to marry his sister. This is Elmiata, a Sufi lo yisa. So if that's the concern, but the mission says that a Sufi can marry a Sufi, but the Sufi shouldn't even be able to marry a Sufi if neither one knows who the parents are. Who knows? Maybe it's his sister, or you know, through his mother or his father. They don't know where it's coming from. So the Gemara says, "Kohani Shadi Ba'azli." So the is it? One second. He says, "Is it likely that this mother, like all the children that she has, like she's throwing into the street?" In other words, she has the child. When one person throws on the street, and another one child throws on the street. He says, and then. So that's what we think is remote. So the Gemara says, but about a Sufi lo yisa. But then, even assuming that we think is remote, but maybe the Sufi should not be able to marry the daughter of an Asufi. Let's say an Asufi married a Gioret, or the way Rashi has it, it's the Asufi or whatever. But in other words, they have a kosher marriage, up here with the Mishnah, but the offspring gets the taint of either parent. So the offspring is an Asufi. So we said the Asufi can marry an Asufi. But the Yusufite's father, you know, could, in other words, maybe the Sufi's father, you know, was his actual father. Hello, Shkiah. So the Gemara says that's so remote, unlikely. So that's the case. It's not Shkiah even with Klal Yisrael, with the sisterhood deal. Hello, Malas Sufi Yuchsin. It just means there's a stringency that Chachamim wanted to create with Yuchsin. Like, you know, I guess it's like, you know, like to impress upon us that Yichus is so important. And as a result of that, so they said that the Shtuki and the Sufi can't come to Kal. Okay, now, hold it one second. Let me just do a little bit with this and we'll talk. Now, all right, now the Gemara says the Shtuki, it's only Midr Rabbanim. In a Torah, the Shtuki can enter the Kal because only Mamzer Badai, Mamzer Safe, can enter the Kal. Now, the Rambam applies this concept to other Isurim from the Torah. He rules the Torah only forbids eating Chazir Vadai. There's no prohibition against eating Safek Chazir. In other words, if something's possibly trafe, it's only due to rabbinic law that when it's forbidden to commit a Safek Isur. In other words, it's Sveka Doraisa. In other words, the way the Rambam learns, we say Sveka Doraisa Lechumra. If you have a Safek on a Torah level, we go Lechumra. So the Rambam learns on a Torah level, Sveka Doraisa, you go Lekula, but the Rabbanim, you go Lechumra. Everybody have this so far? Just listen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So if that's the case, so the Rambam wants to take that this is the model. In other words, here we have an example where on a Torah level, the Shtuki or the Asufi could enter the Kal because they're like Safek Isur. But on a Rabbanim level, they can't enter. And the same thing with all other Isurim, like with, you know, this like Safek Kazir and things like that as well. That's the way the Rambam takes it. Now, Rashba disagrees, and he says of all cases of Safek Yisra from the Torah, as the Rambam maintains, the Gemara wouldn't need a special Pesuk to teach the Safek Mamzer from the Minah Torah to marry Bekal Hashem. In other words, the Gemara learns, like, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem, so the Gemara learns that the Mamzer Vadai can't enter the Kal. One of the Kals was keeping Mamzer Vadai can't enter the Kal. But if the way the Rambam is saying that this is a din, you know, a din min haTorah, a din min haTorah. So I don't need a pasuk to teach me that a sapik mamzer is allowed to enter the kal. And of course, according to the Rambam, by all Yisurim Duraisa, the sapik is mutar, according to the Rambam on a Torah level. And yet here we have an Yisur Duraisa, and the Gemara needs a pasuk to teach me that the sapik is mutar. In other words, the mamzer bada is after the vol b'kal, but a sapik mamzer could come b'kal. So the Rashba says, if the Rambam is correct, I don't need this pasuk. So the fact that the Gemara adduces a pasuk, that he wants to say, seems to cut against the Rambam. So in defense of the Rambam, Meir Shua suggests that although as a general rule, this is like defending the Rambam's position, although as a general rule, the Torah permits a sapik isur, is only permitted if it's a sapik ashakul. In other words, the Rambam will say a sapik is permitted. All sfeikot on the rice level are permitted. But that's where it's a sapik shakul. It's like an equal sapik, a 50% chance. If, though, there's more than a 50% chance a certain questionable piece of meat is pork, then it's forbidden min haTorah to eat the meat. In other words, if it's not a sapik shakul, then it's prohibited. But the Gemara draws in the pasuk regarding mamzer that only 100% definite mamzer is true. In other words, so it means on a Torah level, just defend the Rambam, a Torah level, like a complete equal sapik mamzer could enter the kahal, but somebody who is like 80% likely mamzer could not enter the kahal on a Torah level, according to the Rambam. But the pasuk is teaching me, no, that even somebody who's like a 90% mamzer can enter the kahal, and that's why I need the pasuk. But this machloket is mentioned in the Sheif Shvaita, the first Shvaita, he mentions it over there, it's an idea that people know. So it's machlok, the Rambam and the Rashba. Okay. Now, time for questions, comments, and thoughts. 2 minutes. Go. Well, so I suppose we learned already that people are becheskes kashas, but Rav Shechter says you should ask. You should ask, you know, who's your family, you know, what's going on, and, you know, anything you want to tell me about, divorces and things like that, you know, going back and so you know what you're getting, you know, with that whole thing. Now, All right, now with the Shtukim and the Asufi, the Shtukim and the Asufi, where this comes into play is with adoptions, right? Because if you have a child that's adopted and you don't know who the parents are, which is the way adoption works, that's a Sufi. So the best way is, and the way remote, well, that's the thing. So the way, I mean, we're talking about Jews who are adopting, but the question is, so where is the child coming from? So the way Rav Moshe has it, and I remember Rav Lerner spoke about this, Rav Moshe says it's better to adopt a non-Jewish child and put it through Geirus than to adopt like a Jewish child who you don't know who you have on your hand. But when I was talking to somebody in the base medrash today, Ike Sullivan, so he was saying there are a lot of kulas even with the Jewish children. Well, one is, we'll see in the Gemara that if the child's been cared for, that would seem to cut that it's not a mom's heir. In other words, so like a lot of times, like with the child, like the first adoption agency will claim that they've done research, whatever, and they know who the parents are. But if the child like was given a bris and he was taken care of, he wasn't totally abandoned. But it's an issue you have to deal with. Okay, all right, let me go further in the Gemara, and then we'll take from there. Okay, I don't know, speak to your local, speak to your local competent Orthodox rabbi. Okay, now, all right, now, on the bottom line, I'm Gilad Al. I'm a Rabbi Baruch Huna, Mitzah Omahul. So Rabbi Baruch Huna says, let's say I find a child in the street, but he has a bris, and I'm talking about like a Jewish neighborhood. Mitzah Omahul, Ein Bo Mishum Asufi. I don't have to assume that he's an Asufi, meaning that if you look at Rashi, in other words, if he wasn't like a, in other words, I don't have to be choshesh that he's really a mamzer and the mother's getting rid of him and he doesn't want the mamzer around, because nobody would have gone to the effort to give him a bris mila if that was the case. Then mishalte hadame eibo mishum asufi, if his limbs have been arranged, that he's not a Sufi. Shaif mishcha umali kuchla, if he's been anointed with oil, umali kuchla, he put that in the stibium, whatever, stibium. What's the word they have in the thing for the eye application? So what do you have? Is there an R in there or not? Okay, so let's just take a look. Yeah, stibium. Yeah, anyway, but you know, kachol is something you put in the eye. So he says, Rami Chumra, if he's got like these packets of herbs around his neck, Tali Pipka, or there's like an amulet with a scroll around his neck, Tali Kameya, or a Kameya with herbs around his neck, Ibo Mishum Asufi. In other words, it shows that the parent is concerned for the child. In other words, the idea is the parent is abandoning the child, like, I don't know if this kid. But if the kid is cared for, then that's like not likely a Sufi. Tali Bedikla, if the child, like the crib, is hanging from a date palm tree, Imatile Chaya, if a Chaya, a wild animal, could get to him there, Yeshba Mishuma Sufi, then you have to be a Sufi. Imla Veimba Mishuma Sufi. Zradata Smicha Lamata, there's a sorb tree that's close to the city, Yeshba Mishuma Sufi. And Rashi explains that the Shadim would hang out in a tree like that, so it means he's being placed in a dangerous place. He says, even though a Chaya can't get to it, he quotes the Gemara, it's around 20 lines down in the Rashi, the Ami Bari Psachim's Rat and Smich Lamata Lo Pchita Mishitin Shadi, that there are 60 demons there. He says, Bim Lav, but if it's not near the city, Ebo Mishim is Sufi. If the child's found in a shul near the city, there's a lot of people that go there, he's not a Sufi. It's like a Beit Knesset, but we're out of the town where Mazikim could be. He says, okay, so the idea is, if the child looks like he's, you know, was left by the parents or the mother in a place where it looks like he's cared for, then that cuts against being a Sufi. If the child's totally abandoned and like, you know, Rahman al-Islam, like in the garbage can, that leads us to think he's in a Sufi. Okay, now, Amar Amemar, Hypera de Sufli, is like a ditch with these, for the storley, the date pits. Hypera de Sufli, Yeshmo Yishma Sufi. If the child is found in that ditch, so then that sounds like he's in a Sufi, because that's, well, he says a lot of Mazikim there, Rashi says. Karifta Danaro, Aimba Mishumasufi. If the child's left, let's say, like in a raft, Karifta Danaro is in the middle of the river where there's a strong current, so it's not having a Sufi. You know, there's a lot of boats would pass by and they most likely would pick him up. Shari Yesh Mishumasufi. But if he's left, like near the shore, then it's like that's then a Sufi. Tzide Rishita Rabim, if the child's left on the sides of the Rishita Rabim, we had this when we did, you know, Masechet Shabbat and Erevin, he says, Aimba Mishumasufi. Remember, and we had this other times also, remember, for Kinyan Mashiach. Remember, so some say you can do Kinyan Mashiach if you bring it to the Tzidei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Anyway, so that's not Mishum HaSufi. In other words, like on the sides of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, sometimes people do transactions there. It's like semi-private. But Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself, like the kid gets like run over there, Yishma Mishum HaSufi. Amarava, now we don't understand the sentence, and we must be patient. Amarava, Uvshnei Rabon, Imbo Mishum HaSufi. If it's the years of famine, so it's not an Asufi problem. So how did Rabba, hey, so which one of these statements did Rabba's statement go? Ilema Rashida Rabim, it was talking about, in other words, we learned before the statement was, if the child's left in Rashida Rabim, he's an Asufi. And then Rabba says, if it's famine, not. So I did the Shnei Rabon Katale. So what does it mean? If it's famine, so the mother is happy killing him? Like, in other words, he's saying Shnei Rabon Ainbo Mishma Sufi. In other words, if it's famine, we think, and the mother leaves him in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim where he can get killed. So he's not an Asufi. What does that mean? The mother is happy killing him because Shnei Rabon. So Be'ela Tzidei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So must mean he must be talking about Tzidei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So he said Tzidei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not an Asufi. So my ear is Shnei Rabon, appeal below Shnei Rabon. So whether it's famine or not famine is not the Sufi. Ela ki Yizmar Darabah Hadamar Yudamar Rebbe Abba Amar Rebbe Yehuda Bar Zavdi Amar Rab. So Rab's statement was made on the following statement of Rab. He says, Kol zman shebashuk avibi imo ne'emanim alav. As long as the child is still in the marketplace, so the mother and father are ne'eman, say that's our child. In other words, the child is in the street, and before he's been picked up, so the two people show up and say, we're the parents. The ne'eman said, we're the parents. Ne'esaf ben ashuk, once the child's been gathered from the marketplace, ein ne'emanim alav. My time Amarava, hov yatsalam shema sufi. Somehow, once the name Sufi has been assigned to him, like that status doesn't change with Korah. But Amarava, who v'shnei ra'avon, if it's years of famine, afapishan esaf and ashuk abivimo ne'amadalav. In other words, if it's years of famine, and other people took him from the marketplace, then the mother and father are believed to say that's our child. So the only thing that Rashi says on this, let's see the Rashi, he says, B'shnei Ra'avon, Sharbein Nishlachin, many children are cast off. L'ratzu Chachamim L'post L'machmat Yitziat Kol. Chachamim didn't want to passel them because the coal went out already. All right, but that's the best I have with this. Okay, let me go further in the Gemara. Amarav Chista, Shoshai Ne'emanim La'alter. There are three people whose Ne'emanus is like time constrained. In other words, it's not like an ongoing Ne'emanus. The Ne'emanus has to be done immediately, statement. Eluhain, these are the three. A Sufi, Chaya is a midwife who poteret chaverotel, and the woman who is going to exempt her friends from tumah, which we'll see in a minute. A sufi had the amron. So a sufi we discussed already. The parents have to make the statement while the child is still in the street. Chaya is the midwife. Tani, we learn in the brisa. Chaya ne'emen at lamar zayetz harishon v'zayetz hasheni. In other words, if a midwife is delivering twins, she has ne'emanus to say this was child A, the before, and it's not just who's the firstborn. It's like a whole Yerusha issue. He gets twice as much as everybody else, but the chay is ne'eman to say this is the firstborn, this is the secondborn. That's if she didn't leave the room and come back. If she left the room and came back, then she lost ne'emanus because we don't know if she even remembers. Reblezer Omer, Huxakal Omda ne'emanet, Bimlav Ena ne'emanet. Reb Lezer says if she stood her place, she's ne'emanet, otherwise not. So we don't understand what the difference between the two is. They're both saying she has to be there. So my benayhu, ike benayhu da hadar atpa, she turned her face away. So according to the Tanakhama, she's still ne'eman. In other words, she was delivering the children and she turned her face away from the children and then turned back. So according to the Tanakhama, she's still ne'emanet. But according to Reb Lezer, it's only huksakal omda. If she kept her same position, then she's ne'emanet. But if she turned her face away, she's not ne'emanet. Okay, now let me just see. Yeah. Okay. Now back in the Gemara, Poter Kaviruchamayi. What's the case of the woman that exempts her friends? So again, she's got to make the statement right away. We learn the Mishnah Masechet Nida. Shlosh Nashim Shuyushena B'mita Achad. If three women were sleeping in one bed, and Rashi learns that the three women are really like sleeping on top of each other. Rashi learns four lines above where it gets wide. Second Nida Mukila B'Meshulav Odu D'Muko Zubazu. Like they're all like intertwined with one another. He says, "Venim sadam tachad achat mihen," and then they wake up and they find blood underneath one of them. Kulan tmeot. So then we don't know who it came from. So they're all assumed to be tmeot. Tmeot is not just prohibited to their husbands, but it's like you touch taharot, everything. So it's a lot of implications. Badka achat mihen venim say tmeot. But if one of them did an internal inspection right after that, it turns out that she's tmeot. He says he tmeot kulan tahorot. Amr Rav Chista. Shabatka Atzma Kishir Veset. So Rav Chista says, what do you mean Batka Atzma? She checked herself Kishir Veset. Here Veset means right away. And Rashi learns, look at Rashi, two lines before it gets wide. Lachar Mitzia Miyad. Immediately after the blood was found, she checked herself. It means Masecha Nidim Akar Shir Veset. Sh'omid Ha'ed Hu'a Kinuach Betzad HaMashkov. That the Reag was right by the Tzad HaMashkov. Made him a Chusra El Kaneach Miyad. Now, she's able to grab the Reag and inspect herself right away. And then she says, "I found blood." Then she's the only one who's anyway. That's the second halakha that have to be right. If she checked it right away and she discovered blood in her, then we assume it's just her. That's the way this halakha is coming out. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right, let's go further. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa. Let's say you have a chayim midwife. And she's got a couple of women. It's like a hospital, like a neonatal unit or whatever. She's got a couple of women who've given birth in the same room. So Tana Rabbanan ne'emenet chaya lamar is that kohen. The chaya is ne'emenet to say this one is the kohen. This one, this child, who is the daughter of the kohen, is that lady zenatin, is that mamzer. So that's important halacha. We give her ne'emanis to say who's who and what's what. But memurim shel karala shame rr. It's only if an objection has not been raised to her statement. We don't know what this means, and we must be patient. About Karola RR in an amenet. If an objection has been raised, she's not an amenet. RR demai. What sort of objection? Ilema RR chad. If we mean that one witness came forward and said, "No, you didn't get it right," and the one that you said is a kohen is really the natin or something like that, he says Vahamer Rabbi Yochanan in RR pachot bishnayim. Yochanan says when we refer to an RR, it means that two edim come forward. Ella. RR trait. So the Gemara says it means, in other words, she has ne'emanis, she's the chaya. But if two people come forward and say you made a mistake, then she's out the door. We're going to follow the two people. But ibaydema, or else I could say liolamei malach RR chad. No, in achinami, even if one person comes forward, she's going to lose her ne'emanis. V'chi amar Rabbi Yochanan RR pachot mishnayim. When Rabbi Yochanan did make the statement. An objection, you can't have an objection less than two people. That's where a chazaka of kashrus, a presumption of kashrus, has already been established. Here, the way I understand it, in other words, if the child like already had a cheskas like being kohen or a chazaka one way or another way, so then to uproot that chazaka, I need two people who say this is not at all correct. But if no chazaka has been established, then even one witness is enough to uproot everything. So it means like this. A chaya normally has ne'emanis to say who's who. This is the kohen, this is the levi, this is the mamzer. But the way we're saying is if one's witness say I was there and that wasn't the way it was, so then it's going to undercut her ne'emanis. In other words, the one witness is going to undercut the chaya's ne'emanis. So it means the chazaka has not yet been established. In other words, the chazaka is, in other words, if he's held like as a kohen by the community for a while, then he's got the chazaka. Otherwise, not. So this one person will uproot it. That's what we're saying here. He says, okay, now let's see further in the Gemara. No, no, no.
They had to have multiple births. It's not a busy night.
You mean her ne'emanis always? No, but right. Right. Okay, now let's see the next case in the Gemara, and then we'll call it a night. Okay, now
this Avis that he's giving?
Well, that's the thing. When we talk about nirmanas, it's not Avis. In other words, we know that, different people have nirmanas. Remember, like women have nirmanas in certain areas, things like that. So certain people in halakha have nirmanas on different items. So one idea is that the kaya has nirmanas to say who's whose child, things like that. But the nirmanas could be undercut by a witness who comes
hard
forward.
To imagine their witnesses are dead.
I don't know. Maybe they have like the OBGYN is a male and she's the kaya and she's the midwife. I don't know. Or the husband is there or somebody or something like that. Anyway, all right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, all right, now the Brisa continues three lines from the bottom. Okay, Neman Bal Mekat Lamar, Lazema Farti, Lazeloma Farti. It means an owner, let's say a person, I don't know, was selling a vacuum cleaner. See, he's Neman say, I sold the vacuum cleaner to Reuben, I didn't sell to Shimon. That's when he's still in possession of the vacuum cleaner. It's not in possession, he's not Neman. So the Gemara is going to explain in 1 second that we're talking about a situation where he accepted money from both people. It was both people wanted to buy it, and he doesn't know one of them he voluntarily accepted, one forced the money on him. And now we're going to see how this goes out. So now the Gemara says on Ayin Dalin off the top line, the next thing is Zuzi Manata. Why don't we just see who paid him the money? And then that's who the buyer is. Lo, Srifa did not cut me to buy. He took money from both people. But Amar Khan Midatoi Bakaba Al Korfi. He said, one, I did it, you know, with my consent. That's the person I want to do the business with. But the other one was against my will. Below Yadia, hey Midato, but hey Lomidaika. We don't know which one he agreed to, which one not. So the Bryce is saying that that Baal Nekach is Neman to say, I sold this person. If he still has the Chepza, he's Neman. But if he, in other words, if he still has the Chepza, then it's no, it means that's his obligation to remember who he sold it to. But once he doesn't have the Chepza anymore, and they're arguing over the Chepza, so it's like Milta lo Ramiel inish balava datoi, something which is not my responsibility. I don't focus on it anymore. But let's look at Rashi, and this will help us with this. Okay, three lines at the bottom in Rashi. Bisman shemecho biyado de Ramiel the meidach shelo zor lo mizeh ulach zir lo damav. He says b'tena mechach lemishlo nimtarlo de kamle b'mishapara hilchach meidach daik. In other words, he has responsibility to remember who he sold it to. He doesn't want to be like Misha Para. In other words, if I'm violating my word, then I'm invoking this curse. You know, the person who he has an obligation to remember. I was banching Mechob Yado, but if he doesn't have the Chepsa anymore, Mushneim Oksimbo, they're both holding on to it. Let's say they're both holding on to the vacuum cleaner. It's mine, it's fine. Ain't no Neman, he's not Neman. The came to Lava Le Ramya, since it's not his responsibility to look at the score in the meeting. So he doesn't remember anymore. So, okay. Okay, and then on the third line on Ayin Dalin Aleph, there's much of Balei Dinim. Oh, no, next case. Okay, so now back in the Gemara on line three, Ayin Dalin Aleph. Neman Dayan Lamar, Lezezachiti, Lezezachiyapti. A Dayan, a judge, is Nemanis to say, this person, he won the court case, and this person lost. In other words, this person, I absolved the liability, this one has to pay money. That's only if litigants are standing in front of him. He's not Neman. So the Gemara says, "Vanexi zakuta man nakid." Why don't we just see who's holding like the psak din that says he won? Lo tzricha decree zakutayu. It's ripped up. They can't look at it. Why can't we judge the case again from scratch? And we'll figure out who won and who lost. Veshuta d'daini. So the Gemara says we're talking about a case. Veshuta d'daini is where it's in the discretion of the judge. Like so, Rashi. Right. Well, let's look at Rashi's case on around the eighth or narrow line. B'shuta d'daini, v'din she'eno talui b'ta'am ela kol b'tzricha d'daini. In other words, not talui necessarily like firm evidence, but it's just the way the d'dayin sees it. Ki ahidach tubot v'amar nechasai l'tuvia. Somebody left a will. He said, "I'm leaving my estate to Tuvia." He says, "V'atu shnei tuvia shnei krovim." And there were two tuvias, both mishpacha. Shneim Shchedim, both neighbors of the deceased. Bimrinan Shuda D'daini Lami Shinaiv Leiv Hadayin Lamar Nearly Shzayar Regil Sal Yoter Lizeh Natan. In other words, so the Dain has got to call it who he thinks was like closer to the decedent. But Kamen Shapasak Kane, once he made a Psak Din, in Balak Zor, you know, Chozer, you can't be Chozer anymore. In Rotzen Lazor, Midin, Shemin Tenli Bol, the Tzad Hasheni. So we're not going to redo this din. So we do, so that's not a situation we can go back. So the Dayan is Neman as long as the Balak Din were in front of him. Okay, now let me see if I have a little story and then I'll do it. One second. Oh, he's got a whole thing here. All right. Let me do this for once. Maybe 1 minute I'll do this. he talks about a case. Miri says if a child is uncircumcised and it's evident that the child was not born circumcised by the circumcised man, the child is going to be Jewish. Let's say the child's found in a non-Jewish neighborhood, but he has a bris. He's given a bris. So the Me'iri wants to say we assume he's Jewish. The assumption applies even to student with drug residents or Gentiles. The Chuvas Malko says the case of a Gentile couple presented a circumcised baby that was, anyway, so Chuvas Malko brings a case. Non-Jews came and they had a child and they said this child was given to us by a Jewish people and we took care of the child for 2 years and we now here in the back take care of it. So can we assume that this child is Jewish? So I don't have time to go through it now, but okay, let me just say, okay, one second. Okay, let me just end the recording.